Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, page 1207 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the first eight verses, and we'll read these verses responsively. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 8, page 1207. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And that eighth verse is the text verse. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. We have yet another opportunity to please thee. We believe it would please thee if we would concentrate now upon the delivery of the message and help us that our hearts would be helped. Help that our minds would be alert. Bless this service. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read for you my text. You need not turn to it. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. I want to talk tonight on the subject, we are the Lord's. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to us. Thank you that we're your possession. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Now bless us in these moments together as we think of this wonderful, wonderful subject that we are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The story I love to tell that many of you have heard before. One of my favorite stories. I thought about it this week when I was, last week when they had that big steam engine over there. Did you get to see the train? How many got to see the train? And some of you folks, that's ancient stuff. But when I was in the Army, we traveled on that kind of train. I mean, it wasn't air conditioned either. And that coal had burned. Did you ever do that? No, you're too young. Brother, you did, Brother Deffer. You did in World War I. I did in World War II. And, I can still remember. I remember one time Ms. Hiles went, I went 1,500 miles on one of those trains. Her white dress was a black dress by the time we got there. And my white shirt was a black shirt. But back in those days, folks did not travel by air a great deal. In fact, early days, they did not have air travel commercially. But I remember those old trains. They used to have, you folks can remember, they used to have the seats that you could, the cars, you could swing them over. And they could, you'd sit down facing that way, or you could swing the back over like that. You'd be sitting facing that way. And they had little tables that were hooked up on the wall. You could pull the table down. If you wanted to, you could have two seats facing each other. Have two people over here and two people over here facing each other. And some of you folks with snow on your hair smiling right now, you remember those days. And you could play table games there. You could eat together, and so forth. And there was a time when three men years ago were traveling together on such a train. One chair over here was turned to face backwards, and the chair here was facing forwards, and they had a table pulled down. So three men were, a man here and a man there, trains going this way, and a man here and here were together, and the man over here was with them. But the man over here next to the aisle across facing back was not with them. He was a stranger. So the fellow sitting here asked his buddies, "Would you like to play some cards?" And the man sitting across, who was not with the party of three, was asked, "Would you like to play some cards?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And so the guy got his cards out, and he shuffled them. I won't show you how to do it because you'd think I was too adept at it. But my sister, I've seen my sister do it so many times. I remember I was at her house last week, for example. But anyway, he shuffled the cards, and he dealt the cards. And the fellow over here did not take any cards. Didn't pick his cards up. And the man that dealt the cards looked across the table and he said, "Sir, I thought you said you wanted to play cards." And he said, "Yes, I do." Well, he said, "Why don't you pick up the cards?" And the fellow said, "Because I have no hands." And the man that dealt the cards noticed that all he could see was his arms up, and he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I really am sorry. I've embarrassed you," and he said, I'm sorry about it. The fellow said, "That's all right." A little while later, they came by selling sandwiches, and the fellow had no arms, bought a sandwich, reached out with his hands and got the sandwich. The man across looked over at him and said, "You lied to me. You said you didn't have any hands." He said, "You know, I didn't lie to you. I don't have any hands." Well, he said, "What do you call those things on the end of your arms?" He said, "Those aren't mine. They belong to Jesus." Now, he said, "The truth is, I'd like to play cards, but," he said, "these aren't my hands. They're Jesus' hands. Now, these aren't my hands. They belong to Jesus. And these aren't my eyes. They belong to Jesus. And these are not my ears. They belong to Jesus. And this is not my tongue. It belongs to Jesus. And this is not my nose. It belongs to Jesus. And this is not my body. It belongs to Jesus." Now, the tragedy is, your hands belong to Jesus. They're not your own. You have no right to use your hands for things that Jesus would not use his hands for. You have no right to watch anything on television that Jesus wouldn't use his eyes to watch. You have no right to read any kind of literature that Jesus wouldn't use his eyes to read. You have no idea to walk somewhere where Jesus wouldn't use his feet to walk. You have no idea to take anything that Jesus wouldn't take, because your hands are his hands and your feet are his feet. And your eyes are his eyes, and your heart is his heart, and your body is his heart, and your ears are his ears, and your tongue is his tongue, and your mouth is his mouth. You see, you belong to him. You're not your own. Now, there's several reasons why you belong to him. In the first place, you belong to him by creation. He created you. He made me, and because he made me, I'm his. I have no right to go where I want to go. I have no right to see what I want to see. I have no right to be what I want to be. This is graduation time across America. All across America, students are deciding, graduates are deciding what they want to do. You have no right to decide what you want to do. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You're his property. You have no right, "Well, I'm going to do my own thing." Then you're a dirty crook and a thief, because you're not yours. You're stealing something that belongs to him. That's one reason why I've been so mad lately. I'm mad. I don't think I've ever felt the emotion I felt. And I went to a motel room last Monday and Tuesday, and for the first time read that filth through. I got down to the part where Mr. Nischik told Mr. Sumner, and I have the letter, a copy of the letter Mr. Nischik wrote in my office, so don't think I can't prove it. I got it in his handwriting, where he said, "I offered him my wife." I have never felt emotion like I felt. I have never. I worried about myself. I felt emotions I had never felt in my life. In the first place, my wife has better taste than that. In the second place, once you've had a T-bone, bologna doesn't look very good to you. You say, "You're upset." You better know I'm upset. And any married man in this room wouldn't be upset if the same thing was said about your wife. You're not a man. You're not worth your salt. I went on to read how that Toby Weaver, I know, got that Mr. Nistick's letter also, his own handwriting. I'm not saying stuff I can't prove. And said Toby Weaver got a girl pregnant at the college, and I paid for the abortion. I got mad. I wanted to fight. I wanted to see blood. They called my mother, profaned my mother, mimicking her as the Holy Mother of God. I can't tell you how I felt. Now, they criticized my sister and Roy Moffitt and JoJo Moffitt and my family. Now, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that the reason I was upset is because it was my wife and my mother and my sister and my friends that were criticized. They're mine. They belong to me. Now, I belong to Jesus. It upsets him when he doesn't have me. I am his, and he is mine. I belong to him by creation. You young people have no right to choose your own vocation. You choose the vocation he has for you. You have no right to go to the college where you want to go to. You only have a right to go to the college he wants you to go to. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to him. He created you. There's a second reason why we are the Lord's. Not only are we his by purchase, by creation, but we're his by purchase. He made me, he created me, and he bought me. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the very famous 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, please, or 18. Page 1217, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. In Acts 20:28, it talks about, take heed that ye feed the church of God, which ye hath purchased with his own blood. And what was the price? The price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I have no right to say what I want to say. I have no right to go where I want to go. I have no right to work where I want to work. I have no right to be what I want to be. You folks at Montgomery Ward's or Sears and Roebuck or some other company transfers you somewhere else, you have no right to do what Sears and Roebuck tells you to do. You belong to him. You're his. You're his by creation. And you're his by purchase. I love that story about the little boy that had a little craft. He could build his own little toys. And he made himself a beautiful little boat. He went out one time to the, he lived on the ocean, went out one time to the beach, and he was playing there with the boat. And all of a sudden, he had the boat there, and the tide went out, and the tide took that boat out into the ocean. Are you listening to me now? The tide took that boat out into the ocean. Little boy began to cry and scream and tried to get it, but couldn't get it, and his boat sailed out beyond his sight even. Several months later, he was walking by a toy store. He looked in the window of that toy store and saw his little boat that he had built. He walked inside. His heart was beating faster. He walked inside and said to the man, "Sir, that's my boat in the window there." So some man said, "No, son, that's my boat." A fisherman came in from the sea, and he had found that boat on the sea, and he sold it to me. I bought that boat. And it's my boat. The son's boy said, "No, sir, that's my boat." Said, "I built that boat with my own hands. It's mine. Mister, that's my boat." He said, "Son, it's not your boat. It's my boat. I bought it from a fisherman." And the little boy said, "How much did it cost?" He told him a few dollars. The little boy went out and tried to mow some yards and earn some money and do some work and do some chores and make some money. And finally, one day, he got enough money to buy that boat. He ran down to that toy store. And he picked up, told the owner, he said, "I want to buy the little boat in the window." And the little boy bought the boat. And as he walked out, he hugged the boat and tears rolling down his cheeks, tears of joy. And he said, "Little boat, you're mine twice now. I made you and I bought you. And that's what I am. I'm his twice. I'm not my own. He bought me. He created me. He purchased me with his own blood, Mr. MacArthur. He purchased me with his own blood. He purchased me." He says, "I don't believe you ought to call names. Look, I have taken it and taken it and taken it and taken it and taken it. And I've just got a lot of vent inside of me. And I got a lot of things to say, and I aim to say them. You never said much when folks were slandering me, but now that I'm telling some truth, it bothers some of you. Well, just bother. I'm simply saying that anybody who makes light of the precious blood of Jesus Christ is doing God service, a harm and not a help. God, pity anybody who has to be questioned about the blood. You won't have to ask me twice if I believe the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood. The flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoice to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ah, let me tell you something. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I was purchased by the most precious thing ever paid. The price that he paid for me was the most precious price ever been paid for anything in the history of mankind. I'm his, and you're his. You have no right to live your own life. You only have a right to do what he says to do. Be what he says to be. Go where he says to go. Say what he says to say. Read what he says to read. Listen to what he says to listen to. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. I'm his by creation. I'm also his by purchase. But I'm his by another reason. I'm his by redemption. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Very famous verse, passage. Page 1312 in your Scofield Bible. Read that, those two verses, 18 and 19, with me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Ready? For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Not only am I his because he created me, not only am I his because he purchased me, but I'm his because he redeemed me. When I think of that redemption, I always think of that beautiful old story in Hosea. I think of that man and woman, young man and young woman that got married. And shortly, not long after they married, a boy named Jezreel came into their home. And they had a little happy home there. And then a girl was born to that union. And then a third baby was born, a little boy. And they had three children. And I'm sure they had probably a happy situation and a happy marriage and a happy home. But one day, Gomer, the wife, went out into awful, awful sin. And Hosea, the husband, went to her and begged her to come back home to the family. She became a harlot, probably a prostitute. And he begged her to come back, and she would not return. And then you can imagine that the oldest son, Jezreel, went and said, "Mama, please come home to us." But she did not come. And then the daughter who was born second went, and no doubt, and she said, "Mama, would you please come home? We love you, Mama. Would you come home?" But Gomer had gone into awful, awful harlotry. And then the youngest child, the boy, went out and said, "Mama, would you please come home?" But she didn't. She wasted her life in awful, awful, awful sensuous sin, sold her body, and lived in sin. The years passed, the children grew, and they married and moved away from home. And now the old man, Gomer, his shoulders are not straight. The old man, Hosea, his shoulders aren't straight anymore. And his hair is not dark as it used to be. And his face is not smooth as it once was. And his hands are not calm. They now no doubt tremble. He's up in years now. One day he goes down just to spend some time at the city square. We'd call the city square. Maybe the Bema it was called there. I don't know. But he goes down just sort of wasting some time. He's up in years now. And it's been, probably decades since Gomer left. And the old man goes down just to lean up and watch the auctioning of the slaves. And if you let me picture it a little bit and add a little bit to it, maybe, as I picture in my own mind's eye, the old man stood there. Was he leaning up against the lamppost? I don't know. Was he leaning up against the wall? I don't know. But he was there watching the auction. And they brought a young slave out, and they had the bidding for that slave. And they brought another one out, and they had a bidding for that one. And then a strong, young, muscular man came out, and they had a bidding for that one, and he was sold. And then another, and another, and another. And finally they brought an old bedraggled lady out. And Hosea said, I wonder who'd buy that old woman. She's too old to work. There's nothing she can do. She's not worth anything. And he looked and watched as she came out, and she was embittered. And Hosea said, that's Gomer. That's Gomer. That's my wife. That's the mother of my children. That's the one who left me for harlotry. And he began to bid. The old man raised his hand and says, I'll bid. And Gomer looked back and saw her old husband, Hosea. And Hosea bought her. And the auctioneer said, sold, to the old man back in the back. And the old man went to Gomer and threw his arms around her, I'm sure. And she threw her arms around him. He purchased her back, even though she didn't deserve it. I mean, her life been wasted by sin. And that's exactly what happened to you and me. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us deserve to belong to Him. But blessed be God, there was an auction one day, and I was a slave. And somebody said, I'll bid pleasure. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid religion. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid money. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid baptism. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid thrills. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid good works. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid fame. And somebody said, I'll raise that bid. I'll bid popularity. And then Jesus stepped up and said, I bid my own precious blood. And the auctioneer said, sold, to the man that has scars in his hands. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am. I'm His tonight. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. I remember a story told back during slave days, in the history, in the pre-Civil War days. There was a black lady, young lady, being auctioned in a southern city. That young lady was embittered. She had been a slave before. Now she's being sold from one master to another. And as the bidding came, she cursed everybody that made a bid for her. And she said, you buy me, I won't go. You buy me, I won't go. I won't be your slave. I won't be your slave. But she was a strong young lady. And they kept on bidding. And the bidding got higher. And the bidding got higher. And the bidding got higher. And finally, a man with a kind face bid, that made the highest bid. And the auctioneer said, sold, the gentleman over here. And that estate owner walked up, and the little lady looked at him and cursed him. And she said, I won't go. I won't go. I won't be your slave. I won't go. I won't do it. I won't go. I have a right to be free. That black fellow said that. He's one of our slaves out of Howells Anderson College. But he's right. She did have a right to be free. And the old man looked at her that bought her, and he said, young lady, you don't understand. I did not buy you to make you my slave. I bought you so I could set you free. He said, you're free. I won't be your slave. You don't have to be my slave. You're free. Don't you kid me. I'm not kidding you. I saw something in your face that made me want to buy you to make you a free woman. And I've purchased you that you might go free. And that little black lady, so the story goes, and I think it's a true story, that little black lady fell at his feet and said, oh, sir, you bought me to set me free. And he said, that's exactly why I bought you. She said, then I'll be your slave forever. And so will I. You bought me to set me free. You said, you paid the price on Calvary. You suffered the loneliness and the homesick from heaven for 33 years. Hated, despised, rejected of men. Rejected by your own synagogue. Hated by your own people. Beaten with a cat of nine tails. Wrongly indicted and wrongly tried and wrongly convicted. Wrongly crucified. Dipped your own soul in the torments of hell. For me, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. I am redeemed by grace divine. I am redeemed. I've been purchased by His blood. I'm His. So are you. So are you. You graduates, you're not your own. You're His. Belong to Him. I'll do what I want to do. You have no right to. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. We are the Lord's, Romans 14:8 says. We're the Lord's by creation. We're the Lord's by purchase. We're the Lord's by redemption. Number four, we're His by ransom. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. Page 1027. Read that verse aloud with me, please. Ready? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. To give His life a ransom for many. I'm His by creation. I'm His by purchase. I'm His by redemption. And lastly, I'm His by ransom. 1 Timothy 2:6 says He gave Himself a ransom for all. What does that mean? That means I was kidnapped by God's justice. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. God said, the wages of sin is death. God said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God said, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And there has been placed a price on sin. And God's justice demands that that price be paid. God's holiness says, I cannot save you apart from my justice being met. God's mercy will not allow salvation until God's justice has been satisfied. And God's justice said, the price must be paid. And God's mercy said, I want to save man. I love him. And God's justice said, my price must be met. And God's mercy said, what's the price? And God's justice said, death and eternal and spiritual separation from God. That's the price. And God's mercy said, okay, I'll pay the price. And God's mercy sent Jesus to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins and your sins, and cried, it is finished, and rose again for my justification. And when Jesus died on Calvary, justice and mercy turned around, and they hugged each other and kissed each other. And now then, God's justice allows me to go to heaven when I die. Why? The ransom has been paid. Hallelujah, God ransomed me. He ransomed me, bought me from the slave, from the prison house, and bought me from being a prisoner. I've been kidnapped by God's justice, but God's mercy has sent a note saying, give me the blood of Jesus. And mercy said, meet me at Calvary on April 14. Meet me at Calvary, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Meet me at Calvary 2,000 years ago. When Calvary became a reality, Jesus went to the cross, paid the penalty for my sins and for your sins. God had paid my ransom. I decided a long time ago I don't belong to myself. I decided a long time ago I don't have any right to do what I want to do. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His word and will commands. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Oh, my precious young friend, facing your life with a high school diploma for the first time. You're not your own. You bore the price. He created you. He purchased you. He redeemed you. He ransomed you. You have no right to go where it's a school where you want to go. You have no right to work where you want to work. You have no right to choose the occupation that you want to choose. I've used this story many times. I do not know exactly every detail of the story, but it's about like this. A man came to me at this altar right over here one day, and he said to me, Pastor, I'm proud of my children. My wife and I have reared four children. I'm proud of them. He said, one of my boys always has been good with mathematics. And my boy decided that he wanted to be an accountant. So he went to a college, a Christian college, by the way, Pastor. And my boy has chosen to be an accountant because he's always been good with mathematics. And he said, my boy is a member of the church. I think he said Sunday school teacher maybe, or an usher. Had a good job in the church. Faithful to a good fundamental church. I'm proud of my boy. And he said, I've got a daughter. She's always like music. And my daughter decided that she wanted to work in a Christian school as a music teacher. That's what she wanted to do. She went to a Christian college, prepared herself to be a music teacher, and now she's teaching in a Christian school. I'm proud of her. My boy, he said, has always liked athletics, and so he chose to be a coach in a Christian school. And so my boy is now coaching in a Christian school, and he's serving God faithful in a church. He mentioned a fourth fellow about the same thing, and I've forgotten what he said, but the fourth had a third son, along with a daughter. And he said that my children, each of them has followed the course of the things that they liked and the things that they enjoyed, but they're all Christians. And he said, I'm proud of all of them. He said, my wife and I feel like in some ways we've been a success. I didn't say to him, but I said to myself, sir, you've been a failure. You've been a failure. It is not whether or not your boy teaches in a Christian school or not. It's whether your boy is where he ought to be or not, where God wants him to be. Just because you like mathematics doesn't mean you ought to be a math teacher in a Christian school. Just because you like sports doesn't mean you ought to be a coach in a Christian school. Just because you like music doesn't mean you ought to teach music in a Christian school. The only thing, the criterion that ought to decide, make you decide, is simply this. What would thou have me to do? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. He created you. He purchased you. He redeemed you. He ransomed you. You're His. You're not your own. I'm His. I'm not my own. I don't have the right to do what I want to do. I only have a right to look to Him and say, wherever He leads, I'll go. Only to be what You want me to be every moment of every day. I'll go with Him all the way. I can hear my Savior calling. Where He leads me, I'll follow. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Ladies and gentlemen, up in years, you think this sermon's for young people? Oh, no. No, you're supposed to be what He wants you to be, too. You're supposed to... Well, Brother Howells, I've always looked forward to going to Florida and retiring. Only if He wants you to go to Florida and retire. Well, Brother Howells, I've always wanted to have a little cottage in North... As sure as I say this, somebody here has got a cottage where I'm going to say... I'm not talking about anybody, but a cottage up in northern Arkansas. Oh, in the mountains there, close to Eureka Springs. And I always wanted to have a little cottage up there where I could fish and catch the trout in the trout stream. That's always want. You have no right to do that. No, if God wants you to freeze to death the rest of your life in Hammond, Indiana, and breathe soot instead of air, you're supposed to do that. You're His. Oh, I wish I could indelibly put this on your mind. You're His! You're His! You're His! You're not your own! Give your life to Him.